Ishnu Yashvu Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Yashav Yehuda ben Geri Metzlam. So, three rabbis in a park bench, just like today. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. And they're sitting, Yehuda ben Geri is with them. So it's interesting, there's the three rabbis, and then there's the fourth guy, Yehuda ben Geri, who seems like a little bit of an outsider. Yeah? Patach Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda opened. Va'amar. Kama na'im ma'aseyam shel uma zeh. How amazing are the actions of this nation. What nation are we referring to?
I'm Israel.
Close but no cigar. No. Rome. It lived at the time of the Roman era.
I'm going.
Okay.
To Rome.
You're going to Rome?
Yeah.
You're going to Italy?
Yeah.
Me too.
When?
This summer. In July.
I'm going in June.
Cool. So they were chilling in Rome, and this is post the Gullus. And they're looking at the beautiful surroundings, right? And they say, wow, aren't they amazing? Tiknu shvakim, like shuk. What's a shuk?
Markets.
Tiknu gesharim. What's a gesher?
Rain. No, that's gesher. Sorry. Gesh.
No. They, what's it called? Kolam kol gesher tarmor. A bridge.
Bridge.
Tiknu mechatzaot. And they made bathhouses. Connecting the people, right? Aesthetically, amazing. So, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda, how does he feel about the Romans? What does he think about them?
Thinks they're good.
Thinks they're good. He's looking at the positive side of things. He done you with us?
I'm listening, but
you're like careful. Yeah. That you're honest. I appreciate it.
What?
I appreciate it. Well, Rabbi Yossi Shatak. Rabbi Yossi, he was. Silent. Quiet. In other words, what does Rabbi Yossi feel about this?
He didn't agree.
He didn't agree, or maybe he was ambivalent. Maybe he didn't agree, but why was he silent?
Because he didn't want to disrespect the other Rebbe.
Didn't want to disrespect the other Rebbe, or maybe...
Maybe he, like, disagrees?
Or maybe... You guys know the book, Big Brother?
1984? Yeah.
Maybe he's afraid someone's going to hear, someone's going to rat on. Let's see.
It's like the Romans.
Maybe if he disagrees, but he doesn't want to say anything because he's afraid someone's going to get him in trouble. Oh. Third paragraph, because looking, every part of the story is important. We're going to try to find a chiastic structure at the end, connect the beginning to the end. That's a lot of fun. But oh, by the way, which daf is this found on in Shabbos?
33.
What else is 33? Lag Ba'Omer.
Oh.
Pretty crazy. Story about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is in Lag and it goes to Lad. Some people keep Lad. Pretty nuts, right? It's pretty cool. It's awesome. Nene Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Uh-oh. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai answers them. Amar, Kol ma shetiknu. Everything that was established, lo tiknu ela, v'tzara chatzman. They only did it for their own personal needs. Tiknu shvakim, they established markets. Lehoshiv behen zonot. What does zona mean? What does that mean?
Something bad.
A harlot, a prostitute, or a son of a prostitute. Why did they make all these, shvakim? Why did they make these shuks? What were they planning on doing? So that the prostitutes, they can be prostitutes.
Awesome.
They weren't doing it for holy purposes. They were just doing it for their own, you know, so that the prostitutes will have somewhere to hang out for their physical desires.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tik mirchatzaot. Why do they make bathhouses?
So that people can be clean. So,
La'aden behen asman. To make them feel nice. For physical pleasures. It's like a sauna. Sharin, why do they make bridges?
so that people can go to Avodah Zarah.
Liten man machas, to get taxes. They want money. They want toll booths. They're not, in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, how does he feel about the Roman Empire?
They're all physical. They worship the physical.
They are just selfish. Physical. All they care about is themselves. Yeah? Therefore, he put no value in anything they say. Right? Now, this is actually Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai l'shitato, according to his own opinion. Right? For example, turn to page 5, guys. Look at that story in Kedushin. Hayar Rabbi Tarfim is getting Musubim Baalat Beit Nizabalud.
Is this the Rabbi Shimon
part? Now, Shela Shela Zobifnan. Talmud Gadol, Maaseh Gadol. Somebody asked a question. What's in the last page? Page 6. Sorry. My bad. What's better, action or study? What's better, do nice actions or to learn Torah? Nene Rabbi Tarfon, Maaseh Gadol. Rabbi Tarfon says actions. So the whole point of learning is to do Avodah. Avodah v'Torah. Avodah.
I like Rabbi Tarfon.
Nene Rabbi Akiva v'Amar, Talmud Gadol. Better to learn Torah.
Better to stay in your Mishtag all day?
Mishtag all day, exactly. Now that Kula Mamu, Talmud Gadol, Shatalmud maybe do the Maaseh. Everyone else said, well, you're going to learn so that'll bring you to action.
But then you're never doing action if you're always learning.
So you would be against Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying it's all about Torah. The action is Torah. The whole reason we're in the world is to learn Torah. And therefore everything physical, shtuyot, narishkeit, pointless. What's the point of it all, says Rabbi Shimon in the beginning of this story?
Why don't they just, like, they're both big rabbis, like, they can both see that obviously that, like, you need both. No?
So the third opinion says that you need both. And Rabbi Tarfon obviously believes you should learn Torah. Rabbi Shimon is an extremist. He says, no. Of course we need both, but we don't need to be immersing ourselves in both. It's like we need someone in a janitor in yeshiva, and we need someone to teach Torah. We need them both, but it doesn't mean that I should be a janitor. I should be learning Torah. I should be teaching Torah. Because I have a certain status.
Well, then who's going to be the Goyim?
The Goyim. Now, the other 99% of the world.
But we can't interact with Goyim.
That's another question. Now, if you think I'm just making this up in terms of Rabbi Shimon's approach towards Torah, look at the next Gemara. Shabbos, Daf, Lamed Hey, Amid Bes. Tanu Rabbanan, V'yasafta D'ganecha. Ma Talmud Lomar, L'fishin Emar, Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Zami Bicha. It says, and you should gather your grain, but we have a problem because it says you should never stop learning Torah. How can I gather grain? Yachol dvarim kekitvam. Can we really understand this? Talmud lomar vastafta diganecha. Henag ben minag derech eretz divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, you need to work sometimes. There's time to learn and there's time to work. It says vastafta diganecha. Of course you have to learn, but you also have to work.
Alright, let's get some Rabbi Shimon.
But Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon doesn't like that.
The goyim can plow your fields.
After Adam Chayesh b'shas Harisha, a person's going to plow. Time of plowing. Zorea b'shas Zria. He's going to thresh in the time of threshing. V'koitza b'shas ksira. Harvest in the time of harvesting. V'dash b'shas disha. He's going to, you know, winnow when you need a winnow. Toira matelea. When are you going to have time to learn Toira? What's going to be? All day you're doing internships. Who's going to be learning Toira?
It's just Mada.
Mada. You're doing the Ratzon of Hashem, you're davening with the minion, you're learning Torah. Other people will do the work for you. And it says, strangers shall stand and pasture your flocks, aliens shall be your plowmen and vine trimmers. When you're not doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then you have to go to your internships, to your work. Amar Abaya Halachikar Harbeasuk Rabbi Yishmael. Many did like Rabbi Yishmael and they succeeded.
Did you read vine trimmers as vine trimmers?
Yeah.
Rabbi.
Sorry about that. Many did like Rabbi Yishmael and they succeeded. Many did like try to do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and they
failed.
But it's only for the extremists. Not everyone could live that type of life, says the end of the Gemara. Seems to be the maskan of the Gemara that we need to have work, we need to get a job, we need to learn Torah, and also avoda.
Since we're all this
so we have a kasha.
They're not on the level of him, but they're trying to be.
They apparently are all these people are learning Torah all day. Apparently they think that they hold like Rabbi Shimon. And that's an interesting shaila. But I have a bigger shaila. And it's on us.
You have a bigger shaila? Why? Than the community?
That's like, I guess, I don't know what's a bigger shaila. But I have a different shaila that I want to talk about today. And the shaila is, why the heck are we celebrating Lag BaOmer? It's all about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who's an extremist who believes only in learning Torah and looking at the negative side of anything physical. Why are we here who believe in Torah Va'avoida?
You can learn from them.
Why are we stressing Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? He seems to be the exact opposite of the Shita that you believe in, Brooksy.
So I shouldn't be celebrating it.
But you're going to go on Lag BaOmer. And you're going to play sports. That's another question. What the heck does Rabbi Shimon on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Yartza? His day. Why are we playing sports? And playing bow and arrow and playing softball. What the heck is going on here?
We're playing softball?
No, but in America, the minhag of America is to play softball on Lag BaOmer.
Oh, really?
You know? In my school, we always used to play softball.
Well, because he's a gadol. He's a gadol in the Torah.
But it seems to be his philosophy is the exact opposite of the ideology of our yeshiva.
We have to take the intensity that he brings to Torah and put it into our Torah of Avodah.
Oh,
we have to learn our Torah with the same intensity that he's in.
I like it. Okay. What do you think, Brixie?
Since we don't agree with his philosophy, we don't stand with it. We're going to be learning in the morning. We're going to be playing sports in the afternoon. We're going to be doing what we're showing him. We believe in learning Torah like you, but we also believe in doing other stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
So listen, we have to err on the side of caution because on the one hand we want Torah, we want Avodah, but like we'd rather have more Torah than Avodah because we don't want to end up like the Romans who everything they do is purely physical. If we have, because it's very hard to have a totally balanced life, so better to put a little bit more weight on the Torah side.
Awesome. Okay. Yidan, you have any opinion on this matter? About Rabbi Shimon Yochai, why are we celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai?
Why are we celebrating him?
If it seems to be his philosophy is the exact opposite of Torah V'Avodah, it's Torah V'Torah, the more Torah.
Last night we said the king of Sodot the Torah, right? The Sodot Torah, the Zohar. And they say that a rainbow, Keshet, symbolizes like this sod, meaning like the rainbow is like a sign, a vision of Mashiach that you should see on Lag BaOmer. Rainbow in Hebrew is Keshet. Keshet's like bow and arrow. So bow and arrow turned into Kazan theory.
Okay, but how does that answer our question regarding the extremist of Torah? Why are we celebrating here if we believe in the balance and the harmony? If we see in all these sources that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is all about Torah, 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 Torah.
I know of it.
We've seen in three sources.
Torah.
That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai seems to believe in. He said those Romans, all they care about is physical. The Gemara says, oh, don't go plow, don't go work, just learn Torah. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So why are we celebrating him if we don't believe in that philosophy? You hear the kasha? Okay.
But didn't Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learn his lesson
yet
afterwards?
Oh, so says he died. We have to keep learning the Gemara. We're only halfway through the Gemara. That's the answer.
Didn't he come out and then he saw the candlesticks? And he's like, why are you dealing with those candlesticks when you should be like...
Not candlesticks. Myrtle branches. But
we're
going to see right now. Okay, the answer is we got to see the rest of the Gemara. We're only a third of the way through the Gemara. Okay, let's keep going. So now, Halach Yudem and Gairi, Mesifer Divrayim. By the way, this structure of three people having an opinion on a matter. One silent, one says something, one says the opposite. Where else do we see that? Very common in Midrashim.
Pesach
by Yitro and Bilam it's a very common Midrashic idea of, you know, three people sitting in a...
Three wise men.
Everyone has different opinions. Okay. Halach, Yudah and Garim, Vesiper Divreyem, Benishma L'Malchus. Yudah and Garim came and ratted them out and told them to the king. Notice it doesn't say which Malchus, maybe because they were afraid to get edited. Censored. Amru Yehuda She'ilah, Yudah that said nice things. Yitaleh, he will be raised up. Just like who was raised up? We're still in the third paragraph, fourth paragraph.
Okay. Rashi was raised up.
Oh, but yeah. Which Yehuda was raised up?
Yehuda Hanavi.
Yudah
Maccabee,
and Yudah Ach Shel Yosef. Yosi, like Yosef Shashatak, Yigalel at Tipori. He gets exiled. Who else got exiled?
The Jews.
And who else? What other Yosi?
Yosef.
Fascinating, right? Why is he getting exiled and not killed?
Because he was silent.
He was silent. He wasn't positive. He was neutral.
He wasn't on the case.
But Rome says if you're neutral, it's not good enough.
Don't be a bystander.
Shimon Shigina? Shimon that spoke negatively? Yehareg.
Death?
Death.
Kish Hashem.
Halchu hu verabo yitchabu bebeit medrash. They went and they hid in where?
Caves.
In the base medrash.
Yeah.
First they went to the base medrash.
They went and hid in the cave, it says.
No, base medrash.
They went and hid in a cave.
That's why we don't trust translations. We're not up to that yet. We're up to here. Third paragraph.
Oh, okay. They switched.
Koyom. All every day they got food and bread and water and they drank. When the gzera got stronger, he said to his son, "Nashim daitan kalin aleim." Women, they're small minded. This is the famous source that women. They have das kala. What does he mean that they have das kala?
They're emotional.
And they're easily pressured. Not that they're necessarily stupid, but he was worried that they're going to get pressured by the Romans and then they're going to give in. They're going to rat them out. Nashin daitis kala does not mean women are dumb. It means that they're maybe emotional or maybe they're more easily pressured. Yeah?
Yep.
Maybe she's gonna get pain, and she's gonna give us away. So what do they do? Where they hide? In the cave. Which cave?
Oh yeah, Abu's cave.
No one's quite sure. Maybe it was that cave we went to in Tzfat.
Maybe Chesiyahu's tunnels.
There's all sorts of guesses. Some people say in Tekoa. Some people say he actually lives in Tekoa. It's actually possible. A miracle happened. Nivra lem chiru mayan shamayim, and they got a charuv. What's a charuv?
Carob tree.
Oh, I should have gotten. Maybe I'll go to the shuk and I'll get some carrots from the shuk today. That'd be fun because I might be heading to the shuk now. Cool.
Oh, we should get dates from Mishmar. Dates and oranges. I don't know why oranges, but dates are nice.
Dates are nice. Maybe. Sounds good. And they got water. And they got water and charuv. Why charuv and water? Why were those things? So it's some. What does water represent?
Torah.
What does charuv represent?
Growth.
Think about the words charuv. What other? What is it?
Kiruv.
Not it could be destruction. Chariva. What else?
Har Chorev.
What's Har Chorev?
Har Sinai.
Har Sinai. Torah. I just thought of that now. Never thought of that connection.
The double Torah.
The Yeret Chorev is the mountain that we got, Har Sinai. This is the Torah. So it represents Torah. It also represents simplicity. You can only get the Torah if you're simple, if you're not striving for physicality. The Gemara says that over physical and Torah don't go together. The way of learning Torah is water and dry bread. It's not even, it's not just
maybe,
that it's a...
Maybe some Yerushalmi.
A little Yerushalmi. Torah, not kugel.
Oh, I thought...
Yeah.
And a pickle.
If you really want to get on the highest level, you can't have too much physicality. It'll just distract you, and they don't go together. So he's having the simplest things. And they would take off their clothing. And they would sit in their necks in sand. What does it mean they were taking off their clothing?
They were just simple.
But why do they have to take off their clothing? The simple level, so their clothing wouldn't go bad. But what does it mean they're taking off their clothing on a deeper level?
They shedded their physical desires.
Exactly. They're shedding their physical and becoming totally immersed in spirituality, meditation. Okay? And what are they doing? They're going to bring down the...
Geula.
Kabbalah, which brings the Geula. They're going to learn the Torah of Chassidus of Kabbalah in this cave. Okay? Says our Kabbalistic sources. Kol hayom lamdu. All day they're learning. Now imagine, they didn't have any... light, right? They couldn't steig in a cave. They were hiding. So what did it mean they're learning? Must have been saying things by heart or meditating.
Must have been desire.
Must have been doing some sort of spiritual, really, really. And of course, the greatest light comes down in the greatest darkness, right? In the darkest times. Bizman tefillah lavshu, at time of davening, they wore clothing. Hitkatsu, they wore, and they would put on clothing. Vitpalu, and they davened. You have to have special clothing for davening. When you're davening, you're standing before Hashem.
Can't wear shorts.
And then they took off their clothing, so it wouldn't go bad. Next page. And they stayed 12 years in the cave. 12, of course, is a lot of symbolism. What else is 12?
Bat mitzvah.
What?
Bat mitzvah.
Bat mitzvah is 12? That's nice.
Stars in Yosef's dream.
That's true. What else is 12?
Once of the year.
Once of the year.
Amounts of Pinahelapas.
Amounts of sons of Yaakov.
Yeah, tribes. The 12 represents completion. It's like a perfect number. 12 months of the year. Okay? So they sat there for 12 months and they're stagnant. Bar Eliyahu comes, Eliyahu Navi. Lamad Livnei Petach Mara stands before the entrance. Amar Miyodialano Bar Yochai Shemeta Kesar Ubatla Agzera. Who's going to tell Bar Yochai that the Gezerah is over? Yatsu, they went out. By the way, what story did this remind us of? That somebody tells it, somebody who is in exile and he leaves?
Yaakov. Sorry, Yosef.
Maybe.
He was alive, Egypt.
Who was freed from exile, okay.
No, not that.
But like, someone who had to run away from the Malchus and then someone died and then he was free. Who was a revealer of the Torah.
Oh, David?
Also true. That's also true. I'm saying, think even before that. Idan. Who was in exile, and then someone died, the king died, and then he was allowed to go back to reveal the Torah, to bring redemption to the people.
Moshe?
Moshe Rabbeinu. Paro died, and then he went out of exile, and he was able to go bring the redemption to the people. Pretty crazy. Of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kabbalistically, is a Gilgal, a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he, Lag BaOmer, is considered the Kabbalat HaTorah of Kabbalah, of Hasidus, just like Shavuos is the Kabbalat HaTorah of the revealed Torah. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of crazy stuff going down in this Gemara. Second paragraph. Brooks, you got it? Brooks, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Rao anashim shechorshim mizraim. He sees people plowing. Amar menichin chay oilem v'oiskim b'chay shah. They're leaving the endless life of Torah, of oilem haba, of mitzvahs, and they're immersing themselves in avoda, in plowing trees, and making parnasa. It's only going to last for this world 70 years, 50 years, 40 years, 100 years. But you could be learning Torah. Every bit of Torah will last for eternity. You know how much longer eternity is than 50 years? It's like a whole lot longer. Like at least 20 times longer. Maybe even 50. Infinity, 50. I'm not so good at math, but it's a lot more.
It's a lot.
So Rabbi Shimon said, what are they doing? Internships. Do the ice. It's an illusion. Every place that he placed his eyes, miad nisraf. Everyone he saw, burnt it up.
Like you killed him with his laser vision?
Laser vision. Now, of course, yeah, might mean literally laser vision, but what might it mean?
Death glare.
Death glare. He didn't like it. He wasn't happy. He gave him the fire glare. Who else had a fire glare and looked at people and they just melted away?
With really nice eyes. Yosef had really nice eyes.
He did. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody did. There's food for research, for thought. Probably someone in Tanakh.
Superman,
for sure. Yata Basko of Amrelema Basko comes out and says, Lachriv Olamim! That's awesome! You come here and destroy my world? Chizol Maratchem! Go back to your cave. Chazru Valchu, they went back to their cave. Yashnu Shtemesh Echodashim. They went back 12 months. You know why they went back 12 months? You know what else is 12 more months? Amra Mishmat Rishaim Begehenim. How long does a Rasha stay in Gehenim? Shnei Mesar Chodesh, 12 months. That's why we only say Kaddish 11 months, because we don't want to say negative. That we don't want to imply that our parents are in hell. Yatzapat Batkov Amra. And finally, after 12 months, they said, Tsumi Maratchem, get out of your cave. And they went out. So in other words, how does God feel about this negative way that Rabbi Shimon is looking at the world? He doesn't like it. He has to go back to hell to relearn, to understand what the Torah is all about. They go out. Every time his son Rabbi Eliezer looks at a place, and Rabbi Eliezer would through looking at it, it would get damaged. Hayamar per Rabbi Shimon. But then Rabbi Shimon would fix it. Amrala bni dai leolam anivata. My son, it's good enough, me and you. In other words, what's Rabbi Shimon saying by saying it's good enough, me and you? Yeah, but in terms of his approach towards Torah ve'avodah, towards working versus learning, what's Rabbi Shimon's new opinion?
I also give the Torah and the other Rabbi.
Only one of us needs to learn.
No, me and you need to learn, but what about the rest of the world?
Doesn't matter.
It's okay that they work sometimes. In other words, we need some extremists. Like me and you are going to stag all day, but not everyone has to be on our level. It's good enough that we're on that level. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is still burning with that passion and looking down at everyone who's not on that level. You get it? Be'agi apnei Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos comes. Of course, the first time that we encounter Shabbos in the Torah is what?
Creation.
No, oh, that's also true. But in the Torah in Shmos, you're right, the second time we encounter Shabbos.
Oh boy.
Passover.
Erev Shabbos. Man.
Oh.
When the people are physically immersed in the world, and only then can we get to the spiritual level of refraining from work on Shabbos. Okay? So it's Erev Shabbos. He sees the old man that has two types of myrtles. I'm going to go to the shuk and I'm going to get two myrtles.
What's a myrtle?
A myrtle is a sweet smelling hadas on sukkis. Hadas. The thing that smells nice. The pretty thing that smells nice.
On the lulav?
On the lulav. Hadas. Harav, not so nice. Hadas, nice. They see the guy with two hadasim. Baratz bein hashmashas, and he's running in bein hashmashas. In that in-between time. We'll get back to talking about that. But any guesses? Why bein hashmashas? Why is it in in-between time?
Learning in a Buddha.
Exactly. Amarlo, Elel Amalacha. Rishimah says, why do you need that? Amarlo, Lechavot Shabbos. I'm using this physical to connect to Shabbos. Veloma, speak lecha. Echad isn't one good enough. Echad keneged Zachar, ve'echad keneged Shamor. One for the dancing on Shabbos, the Zachar, the Kiddush, and one for the Shabbos, and one for the don'ts, the things that aren't fun. I do both, and I honor both of them, and I use the physical to connect to both levels of Judaism. Amrullah Livno, Ra'uka Mach Aviva Mitzvah Israel. He says, look at my son, look how much the Jewish people loves mitzvahs. Hityashvu Daito. His opinion was he was his mind was settled. Okay.
We're not done the chiasm.
But this is the middle of the chiasm. This is the middle of the chiasm. Why is this the central piece of the story? Why is this?
It's the turning point.
Why is it turning point?
It's Shimon seeing that he can in fact mix together physical and spiritual.
Exactly. It's Rabbi Shimon saying that what's the essence of the spiritual and the physical going together? Where do we learn that concept from?
Shabbos.
From Shabbos. From this guy who seems to be totally immersed in the physical, plowing, but he's using those myrtles to enhance, to make more beautiful the spiritual, the Shabbos. The Erev Shabbos, the Beinish Mamas is going into the Shabbos. The two aren't a contradiction. That's what Rabbi Shimon is realizing and teaching to his son. Chap. Now we're ready for the third part of the story, and we're going to put it all together. Third, page 3. Shama Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Shkatno v'yatzalek ratno. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is Chasson. Rabbi Shimon Pinchas ben Yair is the guy who says the way to get Nevuah. The Home of Seals Yisharim is based on this guy who teaches us how to get prophecy. So he says, Yichnisa lebeit ha-mechas, let me go back to the bathhouse. When else have we heard about bathhouses?
Early in the story.
Early in the story, he was dissing on bathhouses. Hayamaselo et
Sarah. Just because it feels good.
That's why he smells. He probably smelled bad and realized he needed the bath.
Maybe. Hayamaselo
et Sarah.
Yeah. He's giving him a massage. Rash ayak matim begufo. He sees his flesh is full of clefts, broken pieces, because he was in the ma'ara so long. Hayaboch, he was crying. When the tears came out of his eyes, he would scream. Woe to me that I've seen you, Rabbi Shimon, in such physical pain. You should be blessed, that praiseworthy that you saw me like this. If you would not have seen my physical pushing myself, 12 years of, really 13 years of immersing myself in Torah, I never would have gotten to the spiritual level that I got to. Originally, Rabbi Shimon would ask a question, Rabbi Pinchas and Yair would knock it apart, 12 answers. Now, Rabbi Pinchas asks a question, Rabbi Shimon has 24 answers. Now he's on this spiritually high level that you can never imagine. Now that a miracle has happened to me, I'm going to go fix the world. Since a miracle has happened, I'm going to go fix the world. So how is he going to fix the world? Let's see. Sheken katuv vayavo Yaakov shalem, as we say by Yaakov, it says, and Yaakov went out complete. Vamar rav shalem begufo, complete in his body. Shalem b'mamono, shalem with his money. Shalem b'torato. And his Torah was complete. It's the harmony of these three qualities. If we have time, look in the story of Yaakov when he's leaving his brother Esav and try to figure out why the Gemara is connecting us to that story, if you have time later. One says that Yaakov made a coin. Shmuel Amar Shvakin Tikalem. Shmuel says he made markets. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mechatzah Tikalem. Rabbi Yochanan says he made bathhouses. Always going back to these bathhouses. Love the bathhouse. Okay. Final page, guys. You with me? Okay. Amar Yesh Davar Shetzarech Tikun. Rabbi Shimon says, is there something that needs
fixing?
Let's take a second to take the Tehillim for the ambulance. Asulo yish makom sheish bo safek tuma. He said to him, is there a place that here that is safek of impurity? Is there something impure here? In other words, he's going to fix that which is impure. Just like who? Like a Kohen. Fixing that which is impure. Right?
The ashes.
Safek tuma, there's something which we were not sure if it's impure or pure. Yishlem tsar lekohanim lakivot, and the kohanim, they have an annoying time. They can't get through because they don't know if a dead person is buried there. Maybe I can help and fix it. Kol makom shaita adama kashet tiroto. Every place that he saw that the ground was hard, he purified it. He looked at it and he purified it. You know who else did this, by the way? The Arizal. Also used to go around and through his laser vision, not burn people up, but fix things. Just like the Arizal would look at people and look at their fixings, look what they needed to fix. Mm. Loving eyes, just those of Cook eyes who saw everything with those loving eyes. And every place that was loose, he marked it as Kohen land, you can't touch it. And he would, that way the Kohanim knew where to go and where not to go. So he fixed the way that the Kohanim could go through the Shuk. Amar oto zaken tier ben Yochai beit akvarot. So the old man said, did Bar Yochai fix the cemetery? Amar lo ilmale yaita itanu vafila yaita itanu v'loni met yotanu yafata omer. If you had not been with us when we made this decision to purify the place, and apparently alluding to a vote on the matter, or even if you had been with us but had not voted with us, you would have spoken well. Yomru zonot mefarchasot zot et zot hamidei chachamim lo koshechen. You would have said zonos, they make themselves pretty. Should hamidei chachamim not make themselves look physically pretty? Again, why do you think we're alluding back to the zona?
Earlier
we were dissing the Zona, so now we're chiastic structurally perfectly going back and saying that Rabbi Shimon now is using the Zonos as a way to look good at the Zonos even. Okay? Natan Barinav Nachanaf Anyways, Rav Shimon cast his eyes, but and he died. That's a whole different story. Yata Lashuk, he goes to the market, Ra'at Yehuda ben Garim, he sees Yehuda ben Garim, Amar Adayin Yesh Lazeh Ba'olam, this guy's still in the world, Natan Be'inav Asad Gal Shalatamot. And he just melted him away. And his bones melted the original rat on Rabbi Shimon and Yossi Bidney. And Rabbi Yossi. Strange end to the story. Yeah. But let me ask you guys.
Well, you know,
snitches get stitches. Snitches do get, they get what comes to you. What do you guys make of the story? Going back to our original question, why the heck are we celebrating Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Leading into the final question of what are we going to take from this story for our Hasidus commitment of the week.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai celebrates. He celebrates Torah Avodah.
How so?
How he just went around after like his years of doing nothing but studying and learning Torah and getting like a strong basis in Torah. He then went on to discover how to properly yield physical things and make them spiritual.
Right.
Awesome. So you have to learn before you can be physical.
There was an evolution of Rabbi Shimon. It wasn't, you have to go to the end of the story. The whole point of the story is to see how he learns about the Indian of Shabbos. It's to bring that Kabbalah to the physical world.
Well, how do you do it? As in, like, you don't start off by being physical and then, like, maybe like toss in a little bit of Torah in there. You start off by learning everything you possibly can and then through that apply physical things.
Exactly. Like the Hezder model. First you learn, put a solid year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, and then you immerse yourself in the army and raise everyone up. Remember, at the end of the day, Rav Shimon is still an extremist. He's still learning Torah all the time. He's still spiritually fixing the world, but
now
he understands that not everyone necessarily is on that level, and he can use his spirituality to make the world physically better. Like Rav Kook, a beautiful example of that. A totally extremist, but extremist using it with love. Brooksy, what do you think? Why are we celebrating Lag BaOmer? What does it mean to you?
Well, I agree with Elon, because this guy who's just on the path of just Torah, realized he needs to mix in some avoda, and that's what really we stand for, and try to integrate that Torah into our everyday work lives. So that's exactly why what we're doing on Sunday. And yeah.
But I would say it's Torah and then avoda, not the same level. Not Torah avoda, but Torah has to be the root of everything, and through that root, your avoda will be on a totally different level. Even if I'm spending practically 14 hours a day doing avoda and only 2 hours a day learning, but the Torah has to be anchored, the ikkar that's raising it all up.
So I think that maybe it should be T, and then like we should have a lowercase V and a
Torah.
Lowercase
V.
Torah.
I think we have to make that a thing. Keep that. So, Yidan, what do you think? Why are you celebrating Lag BaOmer with Rabbi Shimon based on this whole beautiful Gemara?
Can I take it to a place where you didn't?
Yes.
That wasn't based on.
That's fine.
I like to take a place of Hasidut. I'm talking about Hasidut. And it's kind of like a Mishnagdin versus Hasidut type of analogy. Hasidut's all about like not being anchored into the material, but more about the internal like feeling of what Judaism should be. And fine, you have the extremist of Hasidut and the extremist of Mishnagdin, but the point of it is what Rosh should be learning in the end, of the fact that Maybe being totally not structured and anchored to your human ability, to your human like to your human being like construct might be a bit too bad, because then you can be totally in the realm of the soul and not in the realm of the physical, and that's not the point of a human being. Because if you're in that realm, then you're going to destroy the world.
I would disagree, because he's still an extremist at the end, and at the end of the day he goes back to the cave to learn and be an extremist, but to learn to be a different type of extremist. The lesson is not to not be an extremist, but to be not be a negative extremist. Not to be an extremist who looks down at everyone, but to be extremely passionate and crazy to bring your Torah to the world. Maybe we're saying a different thing in just different words. I don't know if I'm not sure if I'm really arguing with you. I don't think the point of the story is to not be extreme. I think it's to be extreme, but not with a negative. Not in a negative light. To bring your extremism to lift up the physical.
I think
the second part is more of acceptance.
But he's still saying if me and you are enough for the world. And he's still going and...
He never says not to be extreme. He says like...
Yeah, even at the end of the story, he's still burning people up.
Came out of the cave the first time.
Wait, didn't he come out of the second time?
He does come out a second.
And then what happened?
Then he
a lot of things. He does fix things, and but at the end of the day, he's still extreme in certain ways. Like he's burning up the guy who ratted him out. And he's still passionate. He still says to his son, me and you alone are enough for the world. But he says, you have to look positively at everyone else. I agree with you, though.
Anyways, what I took out of it, maybe fine, it might not be so chorus with the structure. I said that maybe finding a shiluv or not being too much to the extreme.
I agree. But I think our issue in modern orthodoxy, as I love to say, is we're too powerful. We have to learn to be passionate. We have to learn to be extremist about something. And that's something that I take out of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a day to start being passionate about, even if it's passionate about balance, to be passionate about something. So with that, I challenge us.